Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Bruce Tulgan is internationally recognized as the leading expert on young people in the workplace and one of the leading experts on leadership and management. Bruce is a best-selling author and advisor to business leaders all over the world and a sought-after keynote speaker and management trainer. Bruce is author of the new book, Not Everyone Gets a Trophy, How to Manage Generation Y. Bruce, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you so much for including me.
Bruce, the title of your book is a reference to the fact that Generation Y is a generation where every kid got a trophy. And if you were on a soccer team and you just showed up, you got a trophy. Now, many recent articles and books argue that since they've always gotten a trophy, maybe the best way to manage these people as they enter the workforce is to give them a lot of praise and give them a trophy just for showing up. Now, you seem to have a very different message in the book.
Yeah. Experts have been saying to leaders and managers for quite a while, hey, Gen Yers have always been told we're all winners. They've always gotten a trophy just for showing up. So maybe what we should do is praise them some more. If they come to work on time, let's give them a trophy. Let's try to make the workplace fun for them. I think this is nonsense. We've been doing research on the front lines of the workplace for the last 15 years. And what our research shows is that Gen Yers want to be taken seriously. They don't want to be humored. What Gen Yers really want in the workplace is to have someone help them succeed.
Right.
Of course, they may want a trophy just for showing up, but in that case, what they want is not what they need. The most effective leaders and managers are the ones who provide strong, highly engaged management.
Of course.
That doesn't mean you should act like a jerk. It means be honest with your new young employees. Tell them how to succeed in your workplace. Tell them how to succeed working for you. Take them seriously. Set them up for success and help them earn the things that they need and want. That's what works in the real world.
Bruce, we've discussed the issue of multi-generational workforces on other podcast programs. It is really one of the more controversial topics we do. We get tons of feedback from both sides. Oh, these kids, they want to wear hats to work and tattoos and earrings. And then on the other hand, you get the Gen Yers. Just tell me what you want me to do and then leave me alone. And if you got something you want to say to me, put it in an email and I'll be a whole lot more functional that way. You can sort of see the arguments of both sides. Now, in defense of Generation Y, what do you have to offer that some of the old schoolers might not seem to grasp?
My view is Gen Yers walk in the door with a huge amount of energy, a huge amount of enthusiasm, probably the latest and greatest training. There's a good chance that they know how to think, learn, and communicate in this tidal wave of information. They're probably familiar with information management tools, and they want to hit the ground running. They have a tremendous amount of self-confidence. These are all great strengths.
Absolutely.
It's also true that since the time they were young, they've been told, whatever you think, say, or do, that's just great. Don't worry how the other kids play. They have their style and you have your style. All styles are equally valid. This is what child psychologists call positive tolerance. And the message has gotten through. Gen Yers honestly think all styles are valid. And just because you have standard operating procedures in your workplace, well, that's your style.
Yeah.
My style is I show up at 8:20. You guys start at 8 o'clock. Oh, that's interesting. Well, I start at 8:20. So on the one hand, the right approach is to clarify expectations, set ground rules clearly, set them often. But if you're an older, more experienced person, don't stay attached to a one-size-fits-all approach.
Could you expand on that, please?
Don't expect that everybody is going to work the same schedule, work the same kinds of tasks, work the same way as everybody else. This is an environment in which everybody expects customization. Gen Yers expect customization even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so what managers tell us all the time is Gen Yers have very high expectations. Gen Yers want to have more control over their own schedule. They want to have more control over their relationships at work. They want to do the more interesting tasks. As soon as they get good at one task, they want to do a new task. They want to learn marketable skills. They want to work from home sometimes. They want to have more control over their workspace. And they don't want to follow a bunch of rules that don't make sense to them. So managers say to me, what do we do with that? This is a workplace. We have rules. We have standard operating procedures. Where do we strike a balance?
So what should organizations do?
My advice to managers is be honest with yourself and be rigorous about evaluating the things that Gen Yers want. Gen Yers come in and they say, I don't want to work on Thursday. Are you tempted to turn them down because it irritates you? That's not a good business reason. Are you tempted to turn them down because you think, well, if I did that for you, I'd have to do that for everyone? That's not a good business reason, and that's not true unless you're a communist.
Right.
In the business world, we do more for some people and less for others based on what they deserve.
Exactly.
Why are you tempted to turn them down when they make these unreasonable demands? Is it just because they seem like young upstarts and it's irritating to you? When Gen Yers say, I don't want to work on Thursday, plug into their short-term transactional mindset, plug into their visceral sense of the quid pro quo, the right thing to say to them is, you don't want to work on Thursday? Well, then here's what I need from you by Wednesday at midnight. Now, if you need them there on Thursday, then it's off the table.
Of course.
When managers refuse to negotiate these special rewards that Gen Yers want just because they're insulted or just because they think they'd have to do that for everybody else, these are very bad business reasons. When Gen Yers make their unreasonable demands, be glad that they've given you this wonderful opportunity because they're giving you a quid pro quo.
Right.
They're telling you, this is what I want. When they tell you, I want to bring my dog to work on Friday, okay, now I know what you want. Well, good news, there's a few things I need from you. So my advice to managers is do business with them.
Exactly. Use it as an opportunity to establish those goals and work out the commitment.
Now, somebody wants to telecommute, but what they do is build fighter planes. Sorry, you're not going to build a fighter plane in your backyard. So some things are just not available. But if it's something you can possibly do for them, use that as an opportunity to negotiate the performance you want.
Hmm.
If I know you really want something, I'm going to use that to drive your performance to get you to work smarter, faster, and better. Now, don't get me wrong. If you come in a little early and stay a little late, if you work hard, if you dot your I's, cross your T's, you don't make mistakes, you get to keep working here. And if you want special rewards, oh, that's great news for me as a manager because that's going to give me a chance to negotiate those special rewards in exchange for you going the extra mile.
Okay, right. Bruce, you have one chapter that's entitled In Loco Parentis Management. What's that about?
It's become almost cliche to say Generation Y has been overparented, but they have been.
Exactly.
They've gotten more guidance, direction, and support from their parents, their teachers, and their counselors than any generation in history.
Mm-hmm.
When they walk in the workplace, they're used to close guidance, direction, and support. And sometimes managers say to me, they actually hear from the parents of their young employees. Some managers say the parents come to the interview or the parents come to the first day of work. Those are less common. What's increasingly common is for parents to call the boss and ask questions, for parents to call HR and ask questions, for parents to call and say, gee, Junior's working too many hours. Sometimes managers say to me, what do you do about this overparenting? And my advice is don't try to fight it because you can't.
Right.
Run with it. If this is a generation that's always had close working relationships with their parents, teachers, and counselors, try to replicate that. Step into the void and be that strong, highly engaged manager. Give them the structure and boundaries. And as their parents always have, negotiate special rewards in very small increments in exchange for the behavior you want.
Is it a truth or a myth that Generation Y employees change jobs more often and are likely to have very peripatetic careers jumping around? Is it possible to retain a Generation Y employee for long term? What does your research indicate?
It is true that they change jobs more than workers of other generations. It's true that they change jobs more than new young workers have changed jobs in previous generations. But it's not true that it's impossible to retain them. This is a generation you're going to have to retain one person at a time, one day at a time. One of the keys to that is don't let good people get into downward spirals. If you have somebody who is talented and capable, but that person starts to feel he or she is in a sink or swim environment, doesn't know what's necessary to succeed, feels their expectations aren't clear, as a result, they start failing. As soon as they start failing, they're going to think about leaving. So one thing you can do is make sure to provide them with guidance and direction and clear expectations and close supervision so that you can keep good people from getting into downward spiral.
Yeah.
But if you're trying desperately to help someone and that person won't let you help them, remember, there's good turnover and there's bad turnover. Some people you should be worried they might leave, but some people you should be worried that they might stay.
Okay.
One of the most important things when it comes to Gen Y retention is, remember, some turnover is good. You don't want to eliminate turnover. You want to take control of turnover.
What exactly do you mean by that?
You want to push the low performers out and you want to keep the high performers.
Sure.
In a way, you have to decide whether you're going to manage to the high performers or the low performers.
Mm-hmm.
If you shine a bright light on everybody, if you put a lot of scrutiny on everybody, if you don't let people get into downward spirals, if you work closely with them to try to help them succeed, and then some people just won't let you help them, you've got to push those low performers out the door, because high performers hate to work with low performers. Low performers cause problems that high performers have to fix. Low performers send a message that low performance is an option.
That's definitely true.
One of the most important things you can do is create an environment where low performance is not tolerated, because that's one of the things that tells the high performers this is a prestige job. The brand name of your company isn't going to tell Gen Yers that you're a prestige job. It's going to be how you operate on a day-to-day basis. And then with the high performers, with the super valuable people, let's be honest. One superstar is worth three or four or five mediocre people.
Right.
You're not running a kingdom, you're running a business. And in the free market, we do more for people who are more valuable. So whatever you're doing to be flexible and generous with your good people, you need to do much, much more to be flexible and generous with your great people. Don't try to treat everybody exactly the same. There's nothing fair about treating everyone exactly the same. The people who are coming in early and staying late, who are working double time, triple time, the people who are going the extra mile every step of the way should be getting extra rewards.
Exactly. You talked about the best and brightest. What's the best way to develop the best and brightest of Generation Y and turn them into this new generation of leaders?
Step one, you got to help them get really good at their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, you've got to keep an eye on the ones you want to draw closer and closer to your core group. Who's really into the work? Who's really into the job? Who's really good at it? And who is spending time helping his or her peers?
Hmm.
You got to look at not the ones who love power, but the ones who love service. Those are the people to start investing in more and more. Make sure that there are good managers who are playing a strong teaching role with those people.
Right.
Make sure there are good organizational supporters who help those potential new leaders get access to more training opportunities, exposure to more decision makers, stretch assignments, special rewards. Those developmental relationships, coaching style, teaching style manager, organizational supporters, if you have a mentoring program, it's these high potential new leaders who you should be mentoring. Then give them ad hoc leadership roles. Give them a chance to lead a project or lead a team for a period of time. But don't make the mistake that so many senior managers make, which is to promote a young person into a position of leadership, even if it's a temporary position, but you don't give that person any of the training in the basics of supervision. And you don't give that person the support to play that role.
Right.
So if you're going to give a young person the chance to be in a leadership role, you got to teach that person the basics of supervision, and you got to provide that person with support for exercising his or her new authority. Remember, most new young leaders will all of a sudden find themselves managing people who are older and more experienced than they are.
Well, that will happen now more than ever.
That's right. And not only that, but it's not just the older, more experienced people. They'll find themselves managing people who were their colleagues, their peers, their friends yesterday, and all of a sudden now you're a new manager.
Right.
So the Gen Yers are in danger of learning to soft pedal their authority with their older, more experienced colleagues and with their younger, less experienced colleagues. You got to teach them these are the basics of supervision, deputize them formally, and give them support to carry out those new leadership responsibilities.
Bruce, what would you say to somebody who checked the book out and said to you, we're in the middle of a recession. It's a harsh reality, and I don't have time to hold anybody's hand. When things were good, maybe I could take a little bit more time for this soft skill stuff. But right now, damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead.
There's two components of that. One is a lot of older, more experienced people are saying, well, we needed a good old depression to change the attitude of these young upstarts. Maybe they'll learn to keep their head down and keep their mouth shut and do as they're told now. And I think this economic crisis will be a very important accident of history that will shape the mindset of this generation. We just don't know what the impact is going to be. Two, what most Gen Yers are learning right now is their skepticism of long-term rewards. If you pay your dues, climb the ladder, keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and do as you're told, the system will take care of you in the long term, is being confirmed. They were skeptical of that in the best of times. Now, they're learning from this economic crisis that their skepticism was well placed.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
From a business standpoint, if you are right now resource constrained, if you're scrambling, then you don't have time not to manage people in a strong, highly engaged way.
Of course.
You put your employees, especially your younger, less experienced employees, in a sink or swim environment. You tell them, I'm too busy to manage you. I don't have time to hold your hand. Here's what happens. Fires get started that never would have gotten started. Fires get out of control that could have been put out easily. Resources get squandered. People go in the wrong direction on their tasks and responsibilities for days, weeks, or months on end. Low performers hide out and collect a paycheck. Mediocre performers mistake themselves for high performers. High performers get frustrated and leave and go work for somebody who's going to set them up for success, not somebody who's going to put them in a sink or swim environment. And managers do tasks that should have been delegated to someone else. If you're scrambling, if you have no room for downtime, waste, or inefficiency, then you don't have time not to be a strong, highly engaged manager. Because managers who think they don't have time to manage spend more time managing than anyone else. They just spend all of their management time in crisis mode solving problems that never had to happen in the first place.
We've been talking to Bruce Tulgan, author of the new book, Not Everyone Gets a Trophy, How to Manage Generation Y. Thanks for being with us on Edgewise today, Bruce.
Thank you so much for including me.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.